You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. God abundantly provides for us. Discover more in week 3 of Knowing God.
Good morning to everybody. How's everybody doing? I am just so glad to be here this morning. I got in yesterday and it was difficult for our plane to land because of the rain and because of the clouds. And I think it took 30 minutes before the plane actually landed. But praise God that I'm here. I was just praying that it doesn't go to Cebu. Because normally, planes, di ba, pag nahirapan raw, they go to Cebu. But I'm just glad that I'm here this morning to be with you. Actually, the last time I ministered here was about 4 years ago. And that was the time, like what Pastor Archie mentioned, it was a time of transition for the church. And I'm amazed with what God has done in this house. It's amazing where you are right now as a church. And we can really and truly praise God for His faithfulness, for His goodness. Can you give yourselves a big hand? And I'd like to take this time, too, to honor Pastor Archie and Rian for, you know, every time I hear about Victory Dumaguete, I'm just so amazed at the stories that I hear. You know, we say, yes, God is faithful, God is good, God is powerful, but praise God, God can only work also through a man. And I just want to honor Pastor Archie for really answering the call to be here in Victory Dumaguete. And I say, in behalf of the bishops, Bishop Jure and Bishop Manny Carlos and Bishop Ferdy Cabiling, and of course, our leadership in Metro Manila, we want to honor you, Pastor Archie, for really, for the job that you've put in here in Victory Dumaguete. And I believe that Dumaguete wouldn't be where it is now without your heart and your leadership to be here. So, hats down. Thank you so much. Let's give a big hand for Pastor Archie. But before I get into the word, I'd like to show a photo of my family right here. I do have 5 children. Yeah, you can say, wow. And of course, that's my lovely wife right next to me on your left. Her name is Ida. And we've been married for 30 years. And so we celebrated our 30th year last year. And we're celebrating our 31st year this year. And I tell you, I wouldn't be standing here as well without her. And she's been my partner, my best friend. And if you know her, please text her so that I can gain points today. So, and I have 5 kids right next to her. The one wearing pink, his name is Jonathan. And he's 29 years old, got married about 2.5 years ago to Krina, this amazing woman of God. They're part of a Green Hills church. They lead worship there. He runs a business in Manila, which is based out of Singapore. Rohe in Singapore, Rachel Ong, for those of you that know her, they work for Rohe. And of course, the one right next to me wearing white, her name is Jenny. She's 28 and still single. And every time I travel around the world, I hunt for that man. Please don't tell her. I'm here in Dumaguete. If you're the man, show me your bank account. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Please don't, Reggie, don't tell any of my kids what I'm saying here because they'll kill me. Because all the things that I do, talk about them. And then, of course, my third one is Joe, wearing the shades. He's 25. He works for Ayala Foundation. He leads worship in Makati. And my fourth one, his name is Luis. He's graduating. Praise God, he's graduating college. First quarter of this year, he studies at Benilde, taking up industrial design, rather. And 4 done in college. Praise God. And I can't wait for him to get his salary so that I don't have to give him allowance anymore. And then my youngest on the far left, her name is Sabina. She's my princess. She's my Miss Universe. She's 15 years old. And they all love God. I just want to show the photo of my family to tell you how blessed I am to have a family like that. God is good to me. And if you're here today, if you're still single, how many of you are believing God for a wife, for a husband this year? Anyone? Praise God. Are you guys ready for the word? We've been going through a series called Knowing God. And of course, our objective to knowing God is for us to know God. And I pray that our resolution for this year, a lot of people make New Year's resolution, but I pray that our resolution for this year is to know God and not just to know about God. There's a big difference in knowing about God and actually knowing Him. And how many here want to know God more this year? And you notice in our series, we've been going through the book of Psalms. And I like the book of Psalms because the writers of the book of Psalms, you know, when you read their stories, I mean, there's so much honesty. There's so much realness or authenticity when they start to write. I like the Psalms because they write how they feel. How many here sometimes you read the Psalm, parang, sinulat mo yan kay Lord? Pero sometimes you wonder, they complain, they say certain things because they went through difficulty in life. Now, some of us, we want to know God, but you know how God reveals himself to us more and more? When he allows us to go through difficulty in life, then we know him. If we want to know God, we've got to embrace the package. We have to embrace the journey because many times if we want to know God, I mean, he lets us go through difficulty in order for us to understand who he is. And so this year is the year of knowing God. And there are many scriptures about knowing God. Knowing God is not some intellectual thing. It's a supernatural thing. When God reveals to us, when God gives us a revelation, it's not for us to gain just knowledge. He gives us revelation so that we may be closer to him. It's always an invitation to be friends with God. So when he gives you revelation, it's because he wants you to get close to him. So knowledge about God or knowledge of God is not to impress the people around you. When God gives us and reveals himself to us, it is for the purpose of so that we can walk with him deeper. So that is our objective for our series for the last few weeks. And so the week one, we talked about God's glory. Last week, we talked about the goodness of God. How many here like the goodness of God? I love the goodness of God. This year, my verse for this year is Psalm 34, verse 8. When it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many here want to taste the goodness of God? Tasting is experiential. Seeing is our perception. And so God wants us to taste his goodness. This morning when I went to the restaurant called Why Not, I tasted the goodness of God. Let me tell you this. The ploy of the enemy is to cast doubt on the goodness of God. Because when he casts doubt on the goodness of God, it's hard to believe or trust the promises of God. That's why we have to understand the goodness of God. And many times, me personally, I went through difficulty in life and God delivered me, but I had to understand the process. And I understood the goodness of God. You see, God is good. But it doesn't mean that I walk through a bed of roses. Let me tell you, I went through difficulty in life, but I can tell you with all conviction that God is good. And today we're going to talk about a generous God. God's generosity. You know, being generous is being lavish. Our God is lavish. Our God is magnanimous. He's bountiful. He's a God of the overflow. He's the God of the abundance. How many believe that? And he wants to express his generosity to all of us. And so week number four, next week, we're going to talk about the graciousness of God and we're going to end this series on the greatness of God. We're going to be focusing on Psalm 65, which was written by David. And when he wrote Psalm 65, it was towards the end of his life already. So this was the time already when he has gone through the ups and downs of life. And he was writing this from his experience. And this Psalm 65 is the Psalm of Thanksgiving. Some scholars believe that this Psalm was written in a festival in Israel that was celebrated called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Sukkot. It is the Feast of Booth or the Feast of Sukkot. And tradition says that when they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the people of God would actually pitch a tent outside their house. And what they would do during this festival, they would go in this tent to commemorate the goodness of God, that God gave them shelter, that God provided for them, even in times of trouble. Isn't that amazing? And so scholars believe that David wrote this during this time of the feast, during this time of the festival. It was the time of thanksgiving. Now we're going to camp in Psalm 65, verses 1 to 13. But for time's sake, I just like to read two verses first in verse 11 and 12. Let me read that and let's pray. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. When David wrote this, he was thanking God for the abundance. He was thanking God for the rain. He was thanking God for the crops that's being produced because of the rain that God was giving. Now, in the ancient times, they believed in gods that controlled the weather. They believed in the gods that controlled rain. But we know that our God is the true God. That we know that our God is the one who controls the weather. It is our God who controls the rain. So David was coming against this thinking during his time to tell them, no, the rain comes and the abundance comes not because of your performance. It comes because of the generosity of God. So in ancient time, their belief is, if I do good, if I perform well, then God will give the abundance. If I'm nice, if I just do all these religious duties, because the people in the ancient worlds, that's what they believe. They believe if I just am just good, if I just worship a certain number of hours, just like the prophets of Baal, that was what basically they believed. But David was coming against this belief, and he was telling them, no, 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 no. Our God is a God who is generous. Now in verse 1, he starts off in verse 1. He says, praise is due you, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed. You hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. He starts by saying, praise belongs to God. How many here believe that praise belongs to God? The whole psalm is a psalm of praise, thanking God for what he has done. The starting point for everything that we do this year, I pray that this year we started off with praise. How many here enjoyed the prayer and fasting? Oh, and let me tell you, that was the most exciting. Every year I look forward to the prayer and fasting. You know, Pastor Steve in his blog, he said that I hate fasting, but I do it anyway. It's the same way with me. I hate fasting, but I do it anyway. It's like going to the gym. You know, you hate going to the gym before going to the gym, but after the gym, you're glad you went. And the same way with fasting. But I praise God. So David starts off by praising him. And he gives reasons for praise. And he says, because you're a God who hears our prayers. How many here believe that God hears prayers? My prayer this year for all of us is God would answer your prayers. God hears and God answers. So David starts out by praising him and saying, God, thank you so much. But I'm going to give you four manifestations of the generosity of God. The generosity of God is displayed in four areas. And one of these areas is what I call his pardon. Everybody say his pardon. David says, when iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. I love the NLT version. It says this, though we are overwhelmed by our sins, you atone for our transgressions. Of all the people that know what it means to be atoned for their sin is David. David committed murder, committed adultery, and he says that my sin overwhelmed me. Maybe some of you that are here today, maybe you are in that state. But I have good news for you. God's pardon is available. And his pardon is generous. You know, some people have come up to me and told me, Pastor, I don't know if God will ever forgive me because of the things I've done. How many of you have heard people say that? There are people that I see who used to go to church and they don't go to church anymore. When I see them, I said, oh, but ka wala na sa church? They always tell me, Pastor, kasi, grabe, Pastor, I mean, there's so much things that I've done. And I always tell him, you know what? God will still accept you who you are. He pardons and forgives sins. You can't tell me and tell me, Pastor, you don't know. I had abortion, I killed this, I cheated. You know what? If I told you personally the sins that I've committed, you wouldn't like me. Even when I was a pastor. And so I understand this verse when David said, I am overwhelmed by my sins. I also understand that verse because his pardon is unlimited. His pardon and his forgiveness, he offers it. Hindi siya nauubusan. So David understood this. He was praising God because he was saying, wow, He atoned for my sin. He forgives me. And the number one need of humanity is to be forgiven. And maybe if you're here this morning, maybe you haven't experienced that forgiveness. He offers it. And sometimes we feel like, maybe I should fix myself. No, 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 you can't fix yourself. If you think that I'm going to fix myself, you can't do that. Just run to Him. Wholeheartedly and say, God, I'm running to You. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there's nothing that You can do. And He comes. And His grace and His pardon comes with generosity. The Bible says He's rich in mercy. We don't have time to look at that verse. But He is rich in mercy. And so, that's number one. And He pardons us for a reason. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 65. He says, blessed is the one You choose and bring near to dwell in Your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Your house, the holiness of Your temple. You know, He pardons us so that we could be near Him. How many here sometimes you feel like you're far away? Before I met Christ, before I met the Lord, before I gave my life to Christ, no matter what I did, I felt far from Him. But He pardons us so that we could be near Him. In fact, He says that so that we can enjoy and be satisfied with His goodness. Ito na naman, goodness na naman. He wants us to be satisfied with His goodness. Everybody say, His goodness. You know what I realized? I was thinking about goodness. Goodness without God is not good. The world can talk about goodness, but they'll never be satisfied. Because the only goodness, the only time we're satisfied with His goodness, if it's His goodness. And so He wants us to be near with Him, and He made that possible through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are brought near to Him because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Goodness, there's a missional aspect to goodness. Like it talks about here in verse 1, so that to you all flesh will come. And in verse 5 says, the hope of the ends of the earth and of our deceased people will come to Him. I still believe that the kindness of God and the goodness of God draws people. But you see, God's generous and His pardon. I'm going to pray for you later on. Number 2, His generosity is displayed. And number 2, in His power. Look at verse 6. I like the wording I'm reading out of the NLT. I just love the NLT. You formed the mountains by Your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of Your wonders from where the sun rises to where it sets. You inspire shouts of joy. All those wording is speaks of God's power. How many believe that God is powerful? A.W. Tozer talks about this. He says that God is all-powerful, and His powerful is unlimited. It's limited. You cannot measure the power of God. You can measure the power of electricity. You can measure the strength of someone. It's almost like every power and strength you can measure, but not with God. You cannot measure the power of God and the strength of God. You can't. If God is 99% powerful and He has 1% weakness, then we cannot worship God. Because to worship, it has to be 100% power. And our God is 100% powerful. And you know what? His power, He gives it with generosity. I have a friend, Reggie's cousin, a good friend. His name is Dino Aldegheri. He used to be a PBA player. He's part of our Victory Makati Church, and he was separated for 6 years. So all through those 5-6 years, I would pray with him almost every day. We were neighbors. I'd go to his house. There's one time he looked at me, Pastor, babalik ba si Michelle sa akin? I looked at him straight in the eye. Kasi Pastor, prophet ka, di ba? You can tell me if she's coming back. And there's one time he looked at me, he said, babalik ba si Michelle? Sabi ko, I have no idea. But I didn't tell him that I talked to Michelle, the wife. I talked to Michelle. Michelle, babalik ka ba kay Dino? Never! Gumano siya. Hindi ko lang sinabi kay Dino. So Dino, in his prayer, you know what? It was so funny. Dino just told me just recently, his prayer to God. He tells God, God, alam mo, Lord, hindi mo kaya si Michelle. Hindi mo kaya, Lord. kaya mo mag-part ng Red Sea. Si Michelle, nahirapan ka, Lord. Di mo kaya. Lord, kaya mo to stop the sun from moving. You can let the rain fall. Pero si Michelle, Lord, di mo kaya. Di mo talaga kaya. So when he was saying all of that, guess what? A few months ago, the wife comes back. And we went to the beach last December, and we took pictures. And I can tell you, the three children, they're the happiest people that you'll ever meet. And then he comes to me and tells me, Joe, I take back everything that I told you. And he said that, gosh, God pala is powerful. If you're here today, whatever sickness you face today, God's power is more powerful than cancer. God's power is more powerful than whatever disease, whatever you're going through. He is a powerful God. Hindi siya nakakapusa ng power. Ako, kulang yung powers ko eh. How many hear your powers kulang? Powers ko, nako, limited. Lalo na ngayon, 51 years old. Just coming up the stairs here, yung power ko, parang naglolobat na ako just coming up here. Ang Panginoon, hindi ganyan. Hindi siya naubusan ng power. He has so much to give. And that was David. He was saying, he quiets the oceans, he quiets the seas. Just like in the New Testament, when there was a storm, the disciples, they said, God, we're going to die. Don't you care? And Jesus just comes up and silences. He commands the waves. He commands the wind to shut up. That's how powerful Jesus is. That's how powerful the God that we serve. And his power, I mean, he gives it and he displays it with such generosity. Number three, God's generosity is displayed in his presence. In Psalm 65, verse 9, says it, you visit the earth. I love that. He said, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide her grain, for so you have prepared it. You know, you visit the earth is an idiom of the Lord's personal presence in Israel during that time. You know what David was saying? When you visit us, things are okay. There's rain, the crops are okay, there's financial provision. There's when you visit us. I believe in my heart, God is visiting most of us right now. You are going to receive a visitation from the Lord this year, 2017. For those of you that you've been experiencing difficulty in your family, I sense in my heart there's going to be a restoration of marriages here. If you're here right now, there's going to be a restoration of marriages. God is about to visit your family. And if you're here right now, there's some things with your children. There has been strained relationships with your children. I believe that God is about to visit you right now. You see, David went through the adultery, but God never forsaken him. The presence of God was there. When he was running away from Saul, the presence of God was there. When he lost the baby, for while God was angry with him, but the presence of God was there. You see, God is generous with himself. In giving of himself, he's generous. How many here sometimes you feel that God doesn't answer your prayer because God is in a bad mood? You know, God is never in a bad mood. Eh, ako pa, my kids, when they come to me, chinichempo nila na they'll ask me for something. I don't know if Yana does that with you, Jason. So pag si Ida will say, oh, go ask Pop now. He's smiling. Go, ask him. So they'll come to me, Pop, and they'll ask me certain things. Maybe some of us in our thinking, that's what we think. No, I'm going to go to God if he's in a good mood. There's no such thing. God is always in a good mood. He's generous with his presence, and he's always there. The thing is, Tayo, we're not sensitive. We're the one running away all the time. But he's always there. His presence is there all the time. He's generous with his presence. I like that God is never in a bad mood. He was with David when he was fighting Goliath. Let me tell you, whatever you're going through right now, God is with you. And I'm going to pray for you in just a few moments. And lastly, Number four, the generosity of God is displayed in His provision. As we have discussed the last 3 points, sometimes we think of generosity and we limit generosity when it comes to material things. But the generosity of God is more than material things. That's part of it, and we're going to be talking about that provision. But it's more than just material things. And so, in Psalm 65, verses 10 and 12, it says here, "You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops." In verse 11, "You crown the year with bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy." I like words like bountiful. Ever say bountiful? Bountiful. Overflow. Overflow. Abundance. Abundance. Lush. I love those words. God is a God who provides. God is a God who gives abundantly. I don't have the time. If I'm going to tell you all the stories of God's provision in my life, not go on forever. I have 4 kids. And putting them to college, I'm telling you, it's not a joke. That's why when people look at me, when pastors look at me, nakailan ka na? Pag-apat na, patapos na. They're all, wow, bro. Grabe, bro. I mean, putting kids to school, it's not a joke. But I can tell you this with all honesty. All of them went to college. Not one of them ever got late in their payments. Not one. You ask me how. That's why every time you ask how, that's not your department. That's God's department. That's why you never ask the how. Because if you ask the how, you'll never do it. Because the how is always God's department. If I look back in my life, one example, I went to Penang, Malaysia. And when I went there, the Lord called me to, okay, plant a church in Penang, Malaysia. So I went there, I met with the agent who's supposed to process my paper. So this individual, this fellow, just came and sat me down. The first thing he asked me, he didn't even ask me anything, how many people. He goes, "You have money? You have money? Yeah. You have $40,000 you have now? Not yet, but I will have." "Okay, if you have $40,000, you come to me, talk to me, and a visa, all okay." So basically, he was asking, "I'll grant you your visa, just pay me $40,000, and you're okay." Sa loob-loob ko, I said, "Okay." Gumunun ako, pero paglabas ko, "Lord, $40,000 times, you know," I was computing it. So I had no idea. That's why if you want to experience God's generosity, maybe God sometimes will allow you to go through times of lack and at times where you feel like there's nothing there. And I just said, "God, this is what you called me to do." So I got in there, okay, "Lord, you're calling me." So Pastor Steve one time came up to me and asked me, "So, are you going to Malaysia?" "Yes, Pastor Steve." "So, what do you need?" "Pastor Steve, you know, I had to be full of faith." I said, "Pastor Steve, I just need $40,000 and that's it. Just that simple and I'll go." He looked at me and said, "Do you have your $40,000 now?" I said, "No, Pastor Steve, but I will." "Okay, no problem. Come with me." And then he says, "We're going to have a teleconference with all the pastors in Asia. I want you to sit down. I'm going to give you 1 minute. Share the vision of Penang, Malaysia." So I was there, teleconference, talking to all the Asian pastors, sat there. And I said, "Okay, Jojo is going to Penang, Malaysia. He's planting a church." And then I said, I wasn't even finished with my son. You know, we're going there and bringing 5 of my kids and all that. In 1 minute, people were pledging. In less than 5 minutes, I had $40,000 just in that telephone call. I wasn't even done. Somebody said, "Oh, I have $10,000. Oh, I have another $10,000. And I was like, I was speechless with just the provision that was coming to me. You see, our God is a generous God. But you see, even if your needs are not met now, He's still generous. Because sometimes we rush God into things, but I had to wait on the Lord. You want more stories? How many of you believe in God for a car? I was believing God for a car. Anybody here believing God for a car? I was believing God for a car. To make long story short, there was one time I was praying. I mean, this went on for a year or 2 years. I was believing God for a car. There's one time I went to a house, so I was praying for this person. To make the long story short, he comes to me and gives me a car keys. I said, "What do I do with this?" "Oh, it's a car." He has 5 cars outside in his garage. He has a Benz and it's not my choice. Anyway, so, pipiliin ko. But he gave me, and he, all of a sudden he comes down with a folder with the papers of that car. Man, I was just, I can tell you stories upon stories of people, of God providing for me. That's why when David wrote Psalm 65, it was a psalm of praise. He said, God, you're a God who answers prayer. You're a God, oh, praise is due your name. Because he understood that, God, you are a generous God. And as we close, I pray that we would have a revelation of the generosity of God. That we would know him.